Well, now it is time to introduce my guests. They are both here to participate in, as soloists on Saturday night for the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra's concert celebrating 100 years of Leonard Bernstein's birth. I'd like to welcome Anna Kiko Myers, who's the violin soloist. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. It's great to be here.
And Janae Bridges, mezzo-soprano, who will be singing an important role in the Symphony No. 1.
Thank you so much.
Glad you're here, too.
Wonderful to be here.
Well, let's start getting to... Yeah, I have to make a memo to our engineer about that.
Watch the frog.
This is a case, in my case, of admiring someone from afar for years and years and years and getting to meet a new talent to me. I have to go one and then the other. So I'm going to start with Anne, if that's okay, Janae.
Sure, of course.
And your career as a soloist, violinist who has traveled the world and recorded such terrific projects, including one I truly admire, I hope we get to listen to, of Einoy Hauni Rautavaara's final piece that just came out, has just been something to look up to, I think, for so many people in this industry. I know you were born in California.
Yes, in San Diego, actually.
And I just, my big question is, how have you sustained such a long career? You know, this, I mean, it's one step at a time, I'm sure.
Well, with a lot of great help. From my family to the teachers I studied with, including Dorothy DeLay at the Juilliard School and Masao Kawasaki and Allison Eleanor Schoenfeld of the Colburn School of Performing Arts in Los Angeles. All these people had such a tremendous impact on me. And, you know, I'm always very project-driven and throw myself at repertoire that is pretty undiscovered or just needs to have a light shone on it. And, you know, working with, like you mentioned, Rautavaara was such a highlight for me because I was a fan of his for most of my life, and just asked him, would you be interested in writing a 15-minute work for violin and orchestra? And he immediately said yes. And, you know, that kind of power of just working together with a composer and just asking them outright, would you be interested in, you just never know what kind of answer you're going to get. Mm-hmm. And usually, most of the time, it's a resounding yes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I always think if Leonard Bernstein were around, I would have harassed him to the earth's end for more music, because the Serenade is truly one of the most extraordinary violin concertos to perform.
Is it a concerto?
Yes, it is. Yes, very much so. Yeah. And it's based on Plato's Symposium, which is really kind of a manifesto about love. And so it goes into all the dimensions of love and praising the goddess of love, Eros. And there is these seven kind of wild philosophers, if a philosopher can be wild. They were at this dinner party talking about all the different facets of love. And this book was so critical in bringing the piece alive.
I'm assuming this was a 2,000-year-old or more. This is from the ancient Greek texts. And unfortunately, I did not get a classical education. I'm assuming a lot of people my age and up wouldn't have learned Latin or Greek or had started young with the history of philosophy. So right off the bat, I feel a little like, oh, I've got to pretend like I know what I'm talking about here. Plato and the Symposium. I like how you basically brought it down to bare bones. It's a this is a dialogue.
It's a dialogue, exactly.
And the violin is representing forms of love.
That's right, exactly. And it starts a cappella, you know, with the violin just sailing by itself, and then a collective wave of sound comes to this high note that is just, I think, really the start of this raucous dinner party. And, you know, it's very rhythmically challenging for both myself and the orchestra. And yet there's just so much interplay and, you know, chattering and laughing and passion and tenderness. But also, you know, there are markings throughout the score where he says, with violence. And I think, you know, Leonard Bernstein, the year that he was writing this concerto, he himself was going through a lot of turmoil personally with his sexual identity. And he was always searching and seeking answers for, you know, this
duality or
exactly.
Inside. Yeah.
That's yeah. Right. Yeah.
Because he was married in a conventional way and then he had many relationships outside. So Bernstein would have, he would have passed away when you were still in your 20s, I think.
That's right.
So you maybe didn't get a chance to meet the maestro.
Unfortunately, but I would have so loved to have had a drink with him. I think that would have been one endless night.
You may not know this yet, but Stylian Kirov, who is the guest conductor of Saturday night's concert, your maestro for the concert, was here yesterday, and we played the first movement of the serenade, and he talked about the literature, the philosophy that it was based on. I still feel like I don't quite have a total handle on it, but do you really have to feel
understand
like you know
that?
Your Plato to
no,
enjoy
absolutely
this?
Not. I mean, that's just kind of an intellectual background for the piece. But, you know, I always love to tell audiences, you just come to hear the music and experience the music. Mm-hmm. And the music itself is so rich and rewarding that there's some jazzy idioms throughout it. And some real moments of just such beauty that and light that transport you.
What I'd like to hear again, I am going to play this first movement right now, even though we heard it yesterday. I love to listen to how it goes from 0 to 60
to 120.
Yeah. It starts in a very quiet sort of French way or something, and then so much gets piled on. It's amazing. And we have your recording right here, and it happens to be with a conductor who was the conductor of the Grand Rapids Symphony, just 50 miles away from here, for over a decade, Keith Lockhart.
He's wonderful.
So it's a nice recording to have today with Ms. Myers as soloist and the London Symphony Orchestra performing behind you. And here's the first movement of Leonard Bernstein's Serenade, which will be performed by Ann Akiko Myers on Saturday night in Miller Auditorium. Details at KalamazooSymphony.com.
Thank you.
music of Leonard Bernstein. It just contains so much life in it. And we're listening to music that will be performed Saturday. If you just tuned in, that's the first movement of the Serenade after Plato's Symposium by Leonard Bernstein, who was born 100 years ago this year. The soloist will be Anna Kiko Myers, who's here in the studio with me. And another soloist for the symphony, a mezzo-soprano part, will be sung by Janae Bridges, who is also visiting here today. And if we could continue chatting about the serenade. What we learned yesterday was Bernstein is using a series of conversations so that you can talk about love in many different mm-hmm. ways. What's another sense you get? Is there a sad episode? Is there, you mentioned a sort of violent, angry mm-hmm. episode.
There's a playful episode, I think, the second movement is very playful.
Flirtatious.
And flirtatious, yes. And the third movement is really quite crazy. It's always, everybody in the orchestra is just praying that they will all meet at the end, you know. it's really like 150 miles just going on the Autobahn. Super fast and crazy.
You know, when I asked you if this was a concerto before, it was partly because we see different number of movements, the traditional setup is three movements and a couple of solo spots, like cadenzas, mm-hmm. at the end of the first, certainly. Did Bernstein kind of throw that out and just write a piece that challenged the soloist with the orchestra?
Yeah, this format is definitely different. It's written in five movements, and each movement is up about 5 minutes long. So, and it's a reduced orchestra as well. It's just strings, harp, and woodwinds. So
it's funny how I didn't really notice that, because there's so much going on. It sounds like
a very intimate quality that comes across with, you know, the telling of the story. Okay. And, you know, there's this great section in the last movement as well, when I'm playing off of the bass player and we're doing a little jazz number inside. Mm. And as well as there's some chamber music elements when I'm playing with the violist and cellist. There's a cadenza with just the violinist and cellist performing this duo. And then we sort of bring in a couple other key principal players. And, you know, chamber music to Leonard Bernstein was so crucial. And he just appreciated that format so much. And I think it's kind of like visiting a party and going to all the different parts of the room, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. working the room. And that's sort of how this concerto is. You're visiting all the different parts of musical life and history, but also in a very intimate manner, one-on-one.
Do you learn music quickly? Do you have to really give it some time and months?
Well, I learn music, yes, very, very quickly, but for it to actually grow takes a lifetime. And, I'm just so amazed that it does not get easier at all. Like, I've performed this serenade a number of times, I've recorded it, but every time I play it and work on it, I'm like, wow, I'm amazed by how much I discover, how many new things that I find out. And also, I just kind of scratch my head, like, why can't it just be a little easier?
That's honest.
So, yeah, music is definitely, it's just such a powerful language. And, you know, I feel like it's part of my DNA, but it's something that one is crafting their entire life, you know.
I love to think that what we're listening to today on record may not be the same performance at all that we hear Saturday night. And
yes,
that's why, well, being able to, or attending a live performance sets you up for memories of something that you won't ever have again. But if you keep going, you keep building new memories.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, you know, yeah.
There's a lot of variety. There's so much change between one day and the next.
Yes, and, you know, the music director, I've never worked with Stillian, and I'm really looking forward to working with him. And the chemistry that is created there, and then the chemistry that's created with the orchestra and the different players, that's what makes it come alive.
Let's go back to music and hear the third movement of The Serenade by Leonard Bernstein. Anna Kiko Myers is here. Janae Bridges is here. And they're both appearing Saturday night at 8 p.m. in concert with the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra, led by Stillian Kirov. And tickets and more information are available right now at kalamazoosymphony.com. That's the short third movement from The Serenade after Plato Symposium by Leonard Bernstein. He is the man of the hour on Saturday, one of America's greatest musical figures, composers, conductors. I think if I'm honest, growing up, he might have been one of the first names I just started to remember was about classical music. You know, oh, Leonard Bernstein. Everyone was talking about Leonard Bernstein back then. Well, and I'm talking about Leonard Bernstein here today with Anna Kiko Myers and Janae Bridges. Janae, time to say hello. I'm very
hello.
Glad you're here.
Thank you, me too.
Would you tell me about your upbringing as a singer and development into a classical mezzo-soprano?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I started singing a little later in life, singing classically, that is. I grew up singing jazz and in the gospel choir, but I had an arts elective to take my senior year of high school, so I decided to join the choir, and my teacher kind of noticed that I had a natural gift, so she suggested that I start studying privately, and I said, what the heck, why not? So I did that, and I definitely got bit by the bug, and yeah, it's kind of taken off ever since.
You know, that's reminding me, just 2 days ago, I pre-recorded an interview with Lawrence Brownlee, who had much the same story. He could always sing, but it was a bit later that and it was a teacher who said, you know, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you, what you're carrying around inside your throat and your chest,
yes,
is something that doesn't come along that often.
Mm-hmm.
And I can help you put you in the right place for some training.
Yes.
And it's hard work.
It is hard work. But I'm so thankful that that teacher, you know, was able to recognize the gift, and also that my parents were open to the idea of me breaking into this new, weird, amazing field.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was after I was an athlete in high school, so turned down all of my,
oh my goodness,
college scholarships, and everyone thought I was crazy. Many people hated me. But I do not regret my decision.
Oh. Where did you end up going to study further?
I did my undergrad at Manhattan School of Music.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I did my graduate work at the Curtis Institute of Music in Philadelphia.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes.
What were some of your favorite or, you know, your most important, biggest roles on stage?
In school.
Ones that seemed like, here's my biggest thing yet.
Hmm. Wow. Well, I would say, I mean, recently I performed Sister Helen Prejean, and that's from Dead Man Walking by Jake Heggie. And that was at Vancouver Opera. And I would say, I mean, she's singing the whole time for about 2.5 hours. And that was definitely the biggest, my biggest role yet and most demanding, I would say. So that is a role that definitely pops to mind first. Carmen as well. I've sung it a couple times and I have a few more coming up. But it's also a very demanding role. And I feel like, you know, it's a role that everybody knows. It's an opera that everybody knows, even if they don't know that they know it. You know, it's it's everywhere. So it's, you know, it's a special role, but at the same time, it's something that you don't want to mess up. You want to get it right, whatever that means, you know. So that's something that I'm really excited about to have in my repertoire, that I'm able to, you know, have that in my Fach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was the, besides, you know, creating a beautiful tone, learning the languages, memorizing the roles, there's also creating a character. Mm-hmm. Did that come along with all of your schooling, or did you kind of learn the acting a little later?
A little bit of both, actually. It's funny because I grew up, I was always very shy. And when my parents and my family first saw me on stage, they were like, who is this person? You know, like, she's kind of broken out. She has an alter ego on stage. And that's exactly what it is. I mean, I think that I have definitely a natural acting ability. But also in school, we did, you know, take a lot of acting classes. And in New York, I took outside classes as well. So yeah, it's a little bit of both. But I love turning into a different character on stage.
So, and you have a cast to play off of and yes. with, which can be a wonderful thing. I think the trust you develop between you and your
exactly
other
yeah
people.
It's a very vulnerable field, I would say. I mean, being a musician at all is, you have to be vulnerable. But you do have to trust working with other people so intimately on stage. And it's exciting. It can be very challenging, you know. But it definitely has opened up the way that I think and the way that I am, actually.
Well, tell me about a little history, what you know about the Symphony No. 1 of Leonard Bernstein. Where was he at this point in his life?
Yes. So Leonard Bernstein actually began writing this last movement that I'm singing, Lamentations, after he graduated from Harvard. And then he actually put it aside to focus more on his studies at Curtis and brought it back out, actually, when he wrote his first big orchestral piece. And he decided, you know, I think this is the right time to bring this piece back out. And he originally wrote it for soprano, an orchestra. But I think because of the subject matter, it's very heavy. It's dark. he decided to go with a lower voice.
When we talked to Stillion yesterday, he said that the Jeremiah was a prophet.
Yes.
Who warned his fellow Israelites mm-hmm. that they were heading for a fall, that came out to be true with the sacking of Babylon.
Yes.
And that's why it's called like the Lamentations of Jeremiah mm-hmm. In the Hebrew text, because he's trying to warn people that he's seeing what's going to happen and they're not paying attention.
Correct. And it's been really interesting delving into this piece because, I mean, one could argue that we are kind of going through similar times. You know, I think of the weather and I'm just like, maybe the weather is trying to tell us something, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of full circle. So it's been really interesting and rewarding at the same time. It's while it does kind of encompass this very dark color and mood, there's hope in it as well. Especially in the middle section of the last movement.
I can mention that too.
It's so beautiful, and it's, you know, it, you have to bring a different color to it, because otherwise it I think it comes across as for lack of better words, preachy.
Although you will be singing in Hebrew, and most of us aren't going to understand.
That's true. Hopefully there are going to be some translations in the program.
Oh, there almost always. Yeah,
okay,
there will
great.
Be.
Wonderful. But yeah, singing in Hebrew, this is my first time, and it's deep. I don't really know how to articulate it, but it's a feeling that I've never felt before, you know, singing in a different language. I sing in a lot of languages, but the way that Bernstein has set the text to the music, he clearly, you know, clearly thought about how can I evoke and portray this moment. It's really brilliant writing, and it's very easy to sing, but at the same time, you have to definitely have a lot of support under you, you know.
I read that the symphony was premiered by Bernstein. He was the conductor, I believe, and it was not held in a typical concert hall, but at a temple in, Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yes.
I tend to mix up Philadelphia and Pittsburgh.
Oh, don't ever do that.
I know. I've been in Michigan for too long. Janae, why don't we take a break and hear you sing Italian?
Okay, yes.
Could you tell us what production this was from?
This is actually from 2015. I was representing the United States at the Cardiff Singer of the World competition. And this is an aria, Sgombra e la Sacra Selva, from Bellini's Norma.
That is a live performance by Janae Bridges, mezzo-soprano, who will be appearing Saturday night with the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. And Janae, you've made a new fan out of me.
Thank you so much.
It's just beautiful singing, and I'm glad we could share it with our listeners. You have yet to go into a recording studio and put, you know, a whole bunch of arias on record yet.
Not yet, but it's definitely on the books.
And you sounded... You look pretty impressed, too. She's a wonderful singer, isn't she?
Yeah, beautiful.
Thank you.
Do you think you'll be able to hear the rest of the concert and after you've performed the serenade? Because first they play the Candide Overture, and then we hear the serenade. And I know backstage you can sometimes hear through speakers and things like that, but you might be able to catch some of Janae.
I'm hoping.
And I'm definitely planning to sit in on the dress rehearsal.
Great. Yeah,
to hear Anne and everything else.
Tonight.
Yes.
Just be sure to be there.
Yeah.
And I have a really open-ended, stupid question, but it's just that you...
I love those.
you've gone from being a very young performer signed by a major label, then all the upheavals in the record industry, and you still made those projects happen and made them come out on CD. And we have many of your recordings on E1 Entertainment, which has been filling up our shelves wonderfully here. And I feel like you must have a lot of friends out there. Do you have long-term friends in classical music that you go to talk about, whatever's bothering you this day, or certain issues, or about getting things done?
That would be my husband. I would definitely, I go to him for all silly questions, for anything that just, for inspiration. And, I have two young children at home as well. And so, to try to find the balance of traveling, touring, concertizing, and making albums and commissioning living composers, which is very, very important to me. These are all things that just have brought so much growth and have brought so much joy to my life. So I'm just so grateful and thankful to be a musician.
Mm. Do you also play chamber music?
Yes, I love chamber music. And I actually grew up with teachers who found it very imperative to train. And I had a piano trio and a piano quartet as well, and led this ensemble called the Angels Ensemble of California, if you can believe it. And we were featured on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson several times, and That's Incredible, and Those Amazing Animals. And it was a really wonderful time to play a lot of chamber music repertoire, and it continues to this day.
I would love to read an autobiography of you. That you wrote, an expose of, music in the last half of the 20th and early 21st century. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there haven't been that many out there, so that's a thought, I guess. Do you have another recording project you're thinking of?
Yes, actually, I will be releasing my 37th album this fall. In honor of Arvo Pärt, the great Estonian composer, who I have been very, very fortunate to have collaborated with previously. But he actually invited me to open up his brand new hall in Estonia this coming October. And I will be recording his incredible Fratres for violin and piano, as well as making arrangements of some other pieces, including a lullaby, Couscous Kailike, that he wrote. And there will be other works by Philip Glass and Jakub Chupinski and Maurice Ravel's Tzigan, but this time with the original Luthiel version, which we had redone like on a MIDI player. And so a luthiel was this attachment that was put on a piano to make it sound like a cembalom. And it's
which would sound more like the
very Hungarian sounding.
That bright really percussive exciting style. Yeah. Oh, that's exciting. And then that means you'll have both recorded versions out there.
That's right.
Because your most recent record has the tzigan on the recording with the Rautavaara and Szymanowski, great concerto. Wow. And 37, way to go.
Thank you. Not that I'm counting or anything. Yeah. Wink, wink.
Listeners, you have a chance to see two wonderful artists with our own Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra at 8 o'clock on Saturday night. At 7, the conductor, Stylian Kirov, will give a pre-concert chat, and you can find out more at KalamazooSymphony.com. And if you feel like sharing a little bit of your hard-earned dollars and wealth with WMUK, we do rely on your dollars to pay for programs here at WMUK. That's how you get to listen year in and year out. So be sure to go to WMUK.org if you haven't already and make that pledge. We'll finish up with some of the dances from West Side Story. Janae, any last thoughts on Saturday's concert?
Oh, I'm just so happy to be here and make my debut with Kalamazoo.
Yeah,
Symphony Orchestra. So thank you for having me.
I hope you enjoy your time while you're here. And you too, Anne. Do you have any last thoughts for those listeners out there?
Make your pledge.
Yes.
Pledge. Let's support WMUK.
Thank you very
much. I definitely love supporting my local stations, and
yes.
It's imperative.
It's where a lot of great music gets played.
That's right.
Thanks, Anne, and thank you, Janae.
Thank you.